Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, host of Talking with TD. TD, good morning. How we doing?
Hey, good morning. How's everybody?
Doing great, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. We know it was a late night last night, so thanks for being with us this morning. So, TD, it's been the worst-kept secret for a while now that Cam Ward was going to be a member of the Tennessee Titans, but now he's here and the Cam Ward era begins. So what do you make now of the situation, knowing that there's still more draft to go, but the situation that Cam Ward is walking into, and what's kind of your sense of excitement from the fan base?
Yeah, it's funny. Brian Callahan says, "Could stop pretending now." So definitely a worst-case secret. But, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, bringing in Tyler Lockett, that'll help. But at 35, the burden, Luther Burden III is there. You got to consider it. But there's a lot of ways that they could go. I think the big thing is making sure that they have this plan. And Mike Ragonzi touched on it multiple times throughout the process, right? And that's building around the quarterback. But you don't want to do that at the expense of other things that you need on the roster, which is what he hit on Tuesday. So it's like, okay, well, you know, a top end pass rusher versus a fifth or sixth receiver. How do you gauge that? So I think those are the questions they're going to be asking.
When I want to ask about Cameron, but I got, since we're talking about this next pick, how about Emin Wari, man? I know it's not like they have way more pressing needs, but man, I just think that guy, I mean, you knew there'd be some good players sitting here, but if he's sitting there, what do you think about him?
Well, he's very attractive when you talk about the skill set that he brings and things like that. Not sure exactly how they would use him, but I do think that he is getting a little bit more attention than, you know, some of the other prospects because of what he did on the
measurables
at the combine. Yeah. You know, but look, man, that South Carolina defense was really good. Like they have like four guys that should probably go in the first three rounds. But you know, when you start comparing him to Malachi Starks, I think it's silly. I think Starks is a different level player. He could drop down in the box and cover well. He's willing to tackle. He's a center fielder. I mean, you're talking about, you know, an Ed Reed-like skill set. And, again, I'm comparing skill set, not saying he's going to be a Hall of Famer, but to me, Starks is a better player, and I don't like when those two start to get confused with each other. I think the Titans could go elsewhere. He's a guy that, you know, I don't think they need that position right now, and I don't think he's the huge impact player that a lot of people do.
So, TD, on the Ward front, you know, obviously, you know, I've said for a long time, like, if you're the Titans and you think that he's your franchise quarterback, then there's not really a price that somebody could offer where I'd be okay taking. Like, we know how important quarterback is in the NFL. Schefter put it out there that, you know, the Giants offered a first-round pick next year among other picks. So what do you make of, I guess, the conviction that the Titans have on Cam Ward? It seems to be very strong heading into this.
Yeah, it's very strong universally, too, because I think when you look at the way they've talked about him and how much they like the leadership, and they look at how being able to talk to multiple programs and get so much good feedback, it really convinced them. And that's, if you remember, you know, last night I asked both of them, Brian Callahan and Mike Borgonzi, like, why were you so sure knowing this type of conversation that was available to you? And that's what they said, the leadership. They said, you know, a lot of the intangibles. And you look at Borgonzi when he brought up, you know, the spatial awareness, the arm angles, and just, you know, different things that reminded him of Patrick Mahomes when he saw him. So I think that's pretty high praise. And it's a good example of what they believe to be the guy that could turn things around.
Yeah, I totally believe these guys last night talking about Cam Ward. I think that, you know, I mean, they're all in on him. Like, it's clear they are, and I could see it working out. It's going to be exciting and fun to watch him, TD. But a first round next year, whatever else the other picks are, that's what Schefter reported, a first rounder next year. That makes my eyebrow raise. And then you see what the Jags did to go get a guy I think we're going to be talking about for years in this league as one of the great players, which is Travis Hunter. And right now, if the Titans just picked him at one, they could be sitting there and potentially drafting Shedeur Sanders today and have both of those players. So there's three paths right there, TD. There's that, stick and pick, and you might be able to get Shedeur, or you take the trade, or you do Cam Ward. I want you to rank those three in terms of what you would have done.
Yeah, I think sticking and picking is number one. And then, I mean, obviously if you get Shedeur and Travis Hunter, that's a nice combo to bring aboard. And what was the other option?
Well, or just taking the Giants trade, you know, and just moving back and, you know, whatever else happens from that.
Well, yeah, so taking the Giants trade and then, I mean, I'll go sticking and picking, taking Hunter, coming back and getting Shedeur at 35, if they could, if he's going to be there, and then following up with the Giants trade, you know. And I think, you know, this whole idea, we look at draft picks and we're just like, okay, yeah, you know what, that's the golden ticket. Hey, Willy Wonka, it's the golden ticket, you know, but there's a lot of teams who have gotten draft hauls and just, you know, did nothing with it. So I just don't think it's an automatic that, hey, if you get a bunch of draft picks, you're going to automatically, you know, find good players. But I get the concept, you know. So I just think it's just something that's going to be cool seeing how all this plays out. But I just feel like if you believe that a guy is the one for you, then you just take him. You know, you just take him. That's the way I look at it.
So, TD, you know, Joe brought up Travis Hunter going to Jacksonville. You've got Tyler Warren that ends up going to Indianapolis at 14 overall. So, a couple of guys that we've talked with you about that are really good players in college that project to be good players at the next level. So, what do you make of kind of the way this whole thing shook out for the AFC South in the first round last night of Ward to the Titans and then potentially a couple of special players in Hunter to the Jags and Warren to the Colts?
Yeah, I think, you know, the Jags did a really good job. I know they traded a lot, but you got what you need times two, right? They needed a receiver to, you know, complement Brian Thomas Jr., and they needed a corner, you know, to play opposite Tyson Campbell, and they improved both aspects there. And obviously getting a tight end like Tyler Warren is really good for whoever's the quarterback, whether it's, you know, Daniel Jones or Anthony Richardson. It's a big target that you could go to, and he's got to run the seams, work the middle of the field. It's really good. And don't forget about Houston, right? Like, they made, you know, a trade, and they acquired draft capital, and here it is. They could end up with, you know, a Luther Burden or somebody like that at the, you know, high in the second round. So I think all four teams did well. You like to see that because, you know, you want competition. That always makes for good press. So it's definitely a good thing.
Well, will Levis be on this roster at the end of this weekend, and should he be on this roster, TD?
Yeah, that's the big question. I wonder if they'll be able to package him with one of their picks and move up into, you know, a round, you know, to get another top-level pick, ideally in the third round. But we'll see. I think – I'm not going to say he shouldn't be on the team, but I think they should look to move him, right, and just try to get some compensation and just really hit the reset button for both he and the organization. You know, the one thing I'll say about Levis is he doesn't come across as the type of guy that would, you know, cause issues about not being the starter or not, you know, having Cam Ward be picked. But I do think that it would probably be a better type of situation if they could get rid of him, just to not have both of those guys in there at the same time. But then again, do you really want Brandon Allen, you know, Tim Boyle as the backup? So there's a lot of ways to look at it.
Please talk Kaharski into this tonight. I'm sick of hearing him talk about how Levis should be here.
TD, last.
I mean, there's an argument that could be made for both sides, honestly. And, you know, above all else, he's not expensive, right? He's on a second round pick, you know, rookie deal.
TD, last thing for you here. Let's say, for the sake of this discussion, the Titans stick and pick at 35. If you had to pick one guy that's still available that you just really love that's still out there, who would it be?
That's easy. Luther Burden, the third. I mean, look, coming into this year, he was my top receiver. He's been my favorite throughout the year. I know there's some things, you know, personality-wise that they got to sort through, but, you know, he's the guy. And, I mean, you look at Blesto, the scouting service, you know, they had him as the top receiver coming into this year as well. And obviously things didn't work out as much, but you know, you could marry your young receiver to your young quarterback and complement what you have already in there. I think that would be a really, really good pick. So get a first-round guy at 35. Yeah, do that.
Well, TD, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us. Enjoy the rest of the draft this weekend, and we'll talk to you next week, my friend.
All right, for sure. Appreciate you guys.
Sir, Teron Davenport, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, the drafting of Cam Ward, and plus, what more could be coming today for the Titans as they are at the moment scheduled to pick at number 35. We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Join me in 102.5, The Game, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Coleman Tractor in White House tomorrow for Kubota Orange Days. There will be exclusive deals on compact tractors, zero turns, and more with special financing available. Sale runs from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. with demos, deals, giveaways, and lunch from 11 to 1. That's tomorrow at the Coleman Tractor of White House, located at 3631 Highway 31 West. I will be out there, so looking forward to that.
Nice.
Coming up tomorrow.
You and I are going to be all over town.
There we are.
Men about town.
All around Middle Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do around here. Taking your thoughts on the Titans and the NFL draft, let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Dre to the program. Dre, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
What's going on, gentlemen? How you doing this morning?
Doing great, man.
Good.
Hey, man, I think our TD kind of played you guys with kitty gloves and whatnot. The whole concept of taking the Hunt kid and then coming back around and getting Shedeur Sanders at 35. Guys, do you notice that Shedeur Sanders is sitting at 35? And there's no guarantee that anybody will draft up to pick him. I think that the pick that we made, man, was the pick we needed to make. It was the excellent pick. If you look at the upsides, if you look at the downsides of this kid, you have a generational talent. I don't trust Travis Hunter because this guy I've already told you, if you try to turn him into a cornerback, he's going to sit down on you. I think these guys are kind of damaged a little bit, in my opinion, the Travis Hunter situation, and definitely Shedeur, because the league has spoken. They don't want his dad in the locker room, destroying the locker room from Colorado. So I think you guys need to leave that alone. I know you're just throwing out scenarios, but that wasn't a scenario that I would go with, and I'm glad the Titans didn't go down that foolish path. I'll hang up and listen to your response.
Thank you, Dre. Appreciate it.
Well, first of all, TD didn't use any kid gloves because TD agrees with me, and he thought Shedeur Sanders was the best QB in this draft. So TD and I believe that. Mel Kiper's on our team, too. Who else is on our team? There's some people on our team. You're right. The league has spoken. What's that?
Deion.
Deion. So, I mean, look, that's fine. We're welcome to have your opinion. I think your opinion on Travis Hunter is atrocious, and we'll find out. He's going to be a man press, a zone, any type of corner you want. And TD and I disagree on this one, by the way. I think he's going to be amazing. But we'll see. We'll see if Cam's great or terrible or whatever in between. We're all guessing. I am glad he brought up Shedeur, though, because we did have the caller previously.
Yeah,
look, first of all, I really don't think the Deion thing is the prevailing factor here. I mean, I'm sure teams talk about it. It's like, God, that'd be annoying. But, like, if you believe the kid is good enough, I mean, you're going to take a prospect. I mean, Deion, he coaches Colorado. So at his weekly presser, he went, man, they're not, you know, I really wish they would have drafted a left tackle, whatever. I mean, what, you know, I think parental involvement in pro sports, college sports, as we see in this state.
It's a big problem.
It's still, I think you get to pro sports level and, yeah, it's not that. I don't think that's a big deal. But the question of why he fell. First of all, Stilley came on gloating earlier about his TV prospect thing. Meanwhile, last night on the draft show, he said what a lot of people have been saying, which is that Shedeur did hurt himself in Indy. I mean, Shedeur, hey, look, he clearly did. I think some of these people popping off anonymously, it's, you know, it's just one of those things that bothers me sometimes, and we've been talking about that forever. But clearly he rubbed some people the wrong way. I don't think he helped himself. So that's part of it. But look, I mean, he doesn't have elite talent, like elite athleticism, elite size. And then you throw in he rubbed some people the wrong way. And I mean, you can see where he falls in the second round. Again, this is not supposed to be a good quarterback class. Two went in the first round. The consensus is Cam is the best. That's why he went one overall. But I mean, I don't think Shadur falling to where he did is some huge shocker. There are a lot of people talking about it going into the draft. It's going to be very interesting today to see, is someone like him enough to move up? You know, is he sitting there? But look, I again, there's three scenarios here, okay? And I obviously have been not good at, because I think I kind of confused TD on that too. The one scenario is what they did. The other scenario is taking the Giants trade, moving to three, and then whatever you do. You take Abdul Carter.
You'd have Abdul Carter.
Yeah. And then the third scenario is you take Hunter at one, and you are sitting here now, going into day two, potentially able to get Shadur Sanders. So those are the three different scenarios. Yeah. I like the other two better than what they did, but we'll see.
Well, I mean, look, this tells me that clearly the people that looked at Shadur Sanders' film don't think he's very good, or at least not what we talked about earlier. Now, you know, he's the odds-on favorite right now to go 33. So you're talking about, you know, still the highest pick possible in the second round. That's not a scrub pick by any stretch of the imagination. But, like, they clearly looked at his film and did not deem him worthy of a first-round pick. I mean, he's gotten through the first round, and that's where we're at here. So, you know, all the personality stuff and all the, you know, the combine interviews, did those play a part in it? I'm sure it probably did to some degree. But the bottom line is, it's quarterback. And if somebody thought that he was good enough to be a first-round pick, he would have been a first-round pick last night. Like, it's, we see that happen all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, like Malik Willis, go back to what was the – there were people the day of the draft saying he's going to the top five.
Number two
yeah. overall, and he goes in the third round. I mean, it's just, you know, these things happen. And this draft, a lot of guys who were projected to be first-rounders are sitting there right now. And like the Lions took Taliq Williams. I mean, most people had him like in the mid-40s, yep. You know, in the first –
I mean, good Lord – Brugler had James Pearson going like 55.
Yeah.
And he went
26.
Yeah, exactly. So
it happens every year.
It happens every year.
But Shadur is polarizing, and he's a huge and I will agree with Jared to an extent in terms of he's gotten too much attention. You know what I mean?
Like, there's no doubt.
I definitely agree that, like, is the conversation and the focus on him, and obviously last night on the broadcast it came to a head.
Mel Kiper, I thought, like, I was going to cry.
You know, it's, you know, like, we'll see. I think he's good. I think he's going to be a good starting quarterback in the league. I would not have picked him at the top of the draft.
No. And what's going to be interesting is, where does he go now? Because he is the odds on favorite to go 33 to the Browns. But look, we talked with Charles last week, and I know people kind of raised their eyebrows about it at the time. But he brought up Jackson Dart going ahead of Sanders, right? And that's exactly what happened last night. Dart went ahead. He also said, like, Jalen Milroe is kind of interesting here. He could – somebody could look at the ability that he has and say, you know what, I'm taking a shot on him. We know it's probably going to take a couple years for him to sit and develop. But I am not going to be stunned if Milroe goes before Sanders does tonight.
Yeah, there's Milroe, Shuck, Sanders – I mean, in some order, those guys will go. I still would guess, like, Shuck Sanders. But, yeah, man. I mean, the Milroe thing, we were talking about that with possibly the Steelers.
Yeah.
And, you have to commit to, like, your offense is different than most NFL offenses. It's built around his incredible running ability. But it could be fun.
So we'll take your thoughts on Cam Ward of the Titans plus 35. That's where the Titans are currently scheduled to pick. Who is left on the board? Who would we like to see the Titans take at 35? And how likely do we think trading out of 35 is for the Titans given the current setup? We'll get into all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Does the addition of Lockett, you know, change anything as far as the draft, the projections go, and maybe if you could just look ahead just a little bit as to what might be ahead for day two?
Yeah, not necessarily. It won't change anything that we have on the board, adding the player. I think our mindset is the same. You know, like I said, and we're going to approach day two just seeing who the best available player is on the board for us. Like I said, we have a lot of holes right now that we want to fill. I think we want to stay true to the board and draft the best player that we can.
That's Mike Borgonzi last night looking ahead to what is left for the Titans on the board, currently scheduled to pick at pick number 35. Now, Joe, with some movement last night in the NFL draft, you've got Cleveland at 33, which was originally scheduled to be there. You've got the Texans, who have moved around, and now they're at 34. You've got the Titans at 35 and Cleveland again at 36. So Cleveland has 33 and 36 at the moment in the second round. So going to be interesting to see what they do. Do they go with Sanders right off the bat? Currently, right now, you've got Will Johnson, the corner out of Michigan, that's available, who was an outstanding player.
Good.
Probably, player. In terms of just pure talent in this draft, is a top 10 guy. However, there's some injury concern on him.
Is it anything more than an ACL?
Apparently, that's got people really concerned. That's,
if it's an ACL, it's an ACL.
It was enough to knock him out of the first round.
I mean, if it's like some degenerative Legarius Sneed thing, then I guess I just missed that.
Right.
Dude, that kid can play.
He can. You got Mike Green, the edge rusher out of Marshall, and I don't know what's going on with him, but he slid out of the first round where people did not think he would slide. Matter of fact, I think we had Charles on yesterday, and he said he'd be shocked if Mike Green slid out of the first round. But he's out of the first round. You got Emin Wari, the safety out of South Carolina that you brought up. There's Ezeraku, the edge rusher out of Boston College. There's Trey Amos, the corner out of Ole Miss. There's Jaden Higgins out of Iowa State, the receiver. And, of course, there's Luther Burden there as well. So there are options, good options, that are going to be available for the Titans at pick number 35. So as we sit here today, how do you view what's left on the board, what could be there for the Titans, and what's the likelihood that they're going to be able to trade back and get more picks in your mind?
Yeah, well, it's a lot of good questions there. First of all, I'd like to thank TD because, you know, I trust TD, and I've been all on the Emin Wari, you know, like Taylor on the YouTube check, the fact that he wasn't picked as wild, and TD took umbrage with the idea that people are putting him in the same category as Malachi Starks. Emin Wari is a freak, absolutely. He was off the charts in the combine, and he has been. He was on Feldman's freaks list. And he's productive. But I trust TD. It's like there's still like, how good is he as a player? Because I've been sitting here this morning thinking, man, I know the Titans don't need a safety. They badly need a receiver. They badly need an edge. They got good options at both. But a rangy, young, awesome safety is more valuable than some people realize. So, but TD's kind of talked me out of that a little bit. I think it's possible they could trade back. You know, I think if their quarterback run happens, does someone feel like they need to? I'm trying to think like how it works out with Cleveland. So, like you said, if Cleveland really loves them, they take them at 33.
Yeah.
I mean, if they don't, like, does someone feel like Cleveland's taking him at 36? We got to get to 35. Yeah. I mean, maybe that's possible. So, I mean, it's possible they could move back. If they can, I think they should try to. But, I mean, the likelihood is they're going to have to pick at 35. They're going to have really good options. The Mike Green thing's weird to me. Something going on there.
Yeah.
For sure. The Boston College defensive end, I'm just going to call him the Boston College defensive end.
Ezeraku. Donovan Ezeraku.
Look at you, man. My God, you're a stud. And then I trust TD on this too, and I'm with him. Like, I think Luther Burden's a really good football player. I think getting Luther Burden here, I'm not comparing him, but I'm saying like the Titans, you know, when they got AJ Brown in the second round 2019, that worked out pretty well for them. This could be another second round receiver that could work out pretty well for them.
Well, look, I think there are some really what I wanted to happen for the Titans at 35. I think is in play, and that is there are some really good options at edge rusher, and there are some really good options, I think, at wide receiver. So then the question becomes, like, I think from their pre-draft press conference, it was pretty clear that they've got an idea of if such and such is here at 35, we're going to take them, and we're not going to try to trade back. How many of these guys that are left fit that bill? Like, does Ezeraku fit that bill? Does Luther Burden, the receiver, fit that bill? I'm interested to see how they take that. Like, it may be as simple as they're not able to trade back. I also, like, maybe it's not just a run on quarterback. Like, what if somebody below them really loves Luther Burden and they want to come up and get Luther Burden? If you're the Titans, how much do you love Luther Burden? And are you willing to trade back, pick up another pick, try to move back and still have – look, this goes pretty deep. I think they could move back, you know, maybe 10 spots in the second round and still have some good players available to them and then pick up an additional pick on top of that.
You might love Jaden Higgins more and be like, yeah, we can get back to wherever you're – wherever they're going and we can get him still. No, it doesn't have to be a quarterback. You're right. I mean, it could be any – the edge or receiver and – it just – it does. It comes down to their board and the separation they have. And if the overall talk of this draft is accurate, then I think if they have the opportunity, they should move back. So I'm looking up this Will. So, to your point, looking up the Will John, it's unspecified. And it's given the Schefter tweet here and some other reports.
Yeah.
Man, that's too bad because I'm with you. Well, he's certainly a top half of the first round talent.
If he's healthy – like, if he ends up being healthy out of that, somebody's going to get a good player.
They are. But based on what we've seen from, you know, from this iteration of the Titans front office, he's probably just off their board.
Yeah, I would think so.
And you know what? I don't hate that as a policy, especially given how things went with the last guys. Real quick, on the YouTube chat. One, Taylor is like, no, he's better than Stark, so he's a South Carolina fan. I watched him play. I think he's really good. But I mean,
Stark's pretty good, man.
Stark's pretty, and the Ravens seem to know what they're doing when it comes to drafting safeties. John asking me, how could you say Shador is your top QB, but you're not surprised he fell in the second round? Well, it's not a great QB class. He is my favorite QB of this class, but I would have taken any of these guys at the top of this draft. That's just
what it is. Back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Philip to the program. Philip, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. Let me make a quick point, then I'm going to get to my thing. Cleveland could come out as a winner with this. If I was them, I would go Burton with my first second-round pick and then turn around and draft Shador with my second, and they could be pretty nicely set there if they were smart with that. But my point I want to make was, and I want y'all opinion on this, Robbie and Joe, I call it the Corey Davis effect. Corey Davis was actually a pretty solid receiver for the Titans, considering like his stats and stuff. He was okay, but where he was drafted at made him kind of a bust because he was a top five pick. He never put up top five pick numbers, but he was a solid Titan. My thing is with Ward, what type of player do y'all think he has to be to justify him being picked with the number one pick, considering if the Browns did offer two first round picks for him, then
Giants.
We could have possibly had next – I mean the Giants, sorry about that.
Yep.
The Giants, if they did offer those picks, then we could have possibly next year had two first round picks and both probably could have been top five picks.
Yes.
And I know TD said that it don't matter about the picks, but that does matter because you got a better chance of hitting – on two extra top five picks for next year, that sets your franchise forward in a big-time way with those picks. So what type of player do y'all think he has to be to justify that pick of saying, okay, he's a number one pick, first-round pick for the Titans, and, what kind of player comp? And I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you, Philip. Appreciate it. Yeah. Look, I've kind of put my – what do you want him to be? Well, you want him to be one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL.
He's got
to
be great.
I've kind of made it clear throughout this process, my line of demarcation for him in terms of like what do I want and what would I accept? My line of what I would accept is probably right around what Baker Mayfield is now for Tampa Bay. Not what Baker Mayfield was in Cleveland, what Baker Mayfield is now in Tampa Bay. That's probably what I would accept.
Like this last year.
This last year. 4,500 yards, 41 touchdowns. And I'm not talking
over
purely
year.
That stat line, but just that type of play. Like Baker Mayfield has been a very good quarterback the last 2 years in Tampa Bay. He's not gonna make anybody's top five list, but he's been a very good quarterback. And that's kind of where my line is for the number one pick.
So that's your floor.
That's my floor.
Yeah. Yeah, look, I mean, to me he's gotta be great. What is great? I think he's got to end up being over several years. He's got to be a guy who gets you the playoffs, wins playoffs games, gives you a chance to make runs, gets to a second contract, and is in the top 10 to 12, at least top half. I think you can you be great and be in the middle of the league? I mean, I think it's possible. You go through all the quarterbacks in this league, Like, you can find – again, great is sort of – that's a word. You have to define the word. But those things, to me, are important. And, yeah, I think that stat line is great. Yeah. Yeah, if you have that stat line, sure. You know, if you want to nitpick the Baker thing, maybe not as many death picks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Baker's, you know, he's a really good player. But he's got it, yeah. And it's a great point by the caller. Like, that's the thing. You're probably looking at two high picks next year. So you could use those to get the quarterback after you've done a totally different thing this year. You could have a much better roster for the quarterback you get next year. But, you know, you're in on Cam Ward. So I think that the what are you doings are beating the Cam Dews today. But we'll see. Again, that's going to shift.
This may be your worst work ever. It's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Trey to the program. Trey, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Yeah, man.
Good.
Hey, I would just want to say that I believe, you know, GMs, they talk. You know, it's all a club. You know, they do talk. And I believe that Shedeur Sanders' stock has went down because everybody was saying that he was throwing ducks in his pro day. And do y'all believe that his stock is going down? And do you think – I think he'll be a good backup, but I don't think he's starter material. And what do y'all think? And thank y'all for taking my call. Have a good day.
Thank you, Trey. Thank appreciate you. It. Well, his stock's clearly going down. And the question is how far. That's what I'm most curious about. I mean, the stock is clearly down. Now, if he ends up getting picked with the first pick today, how big a deal is that at the end of the day? I don't know. I mean, it's the first pick of the second round.
Makes him the
you
Levis.
Don't get the fifth year, but it's basically like Levis.
The Levis,
right?
Of 23.
That's basically what he is. What's going to be interesting is, what if Cleveland doesn't take him today at 33? And what if Milroe goes in front of him? What if there are quarterbacks that continue to go in front of him? How far does he slide? That's going to be what's interesting to me today.
Yeah, for sure. There's a point, Scott, from Hendersonville made about Callahan that I think is worth getting to real fast when we come back.
We'll get into that. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Got some tickets to give away to see Stained and Breaking Benjamin at Bridgestone Arena this Sunday. Be caller 5-615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Rex Road, you got a thought you wanted to get to on the text line. Driven by Wilson County Hyundai.
Yep. And then there it is. Okay. I think this is interesting. We could do a little more of this next week. But the other thing people are not talking about, how this move also solidifies the fact that Borgonzi is all in on Callahan to be this team's coach for the foreseeable future. Because if there was still a question about that, they would have taken the Giants trade, likely had to fire Callahan after Will Levis torpedoed the season. Head coach gets a longer leash with the rookie quarterback. I don't know that it's a fact. I don't know that it solidifies anything. I don't know if it's a fact. I do think that that's how they should be looking at it. I do think that if you weren't going to make the move on him when you brought in the new GM, when it's like, hey, if you've got a guy, you know, and I understand the timing on that's tough, but still, you know, if you weren't going to make a move and you were going to make this move and get a quarterback, then to me, you have to look at it like this should be a two-year pairing. And then obviously if someone goes at that, it's probably going to be the coach, although – teams do give up on quarterbacks in 2 years, but number one overall pick, I think he probably gets 3 years. So, but Callahan, unless this year is an unmitigated disaster on a variety of fronts, I think should have that longer leash.
It's going to be really interesting to see how that happens. Somebody asked earlier about a win total. I think if you're approaching it like Callahan has to hit a certain benchmark this year from a win total standpoint, I think you're approaching it the wrong way if you're the Titans. Look, do they need to win more than 3 games this year? Yeah, they do. So let's see if they can do that. You know, if they're 3-14 again this year or 2-15, then you're probably going to get to a point with Callahan where it's like, man, you know, you love continuity, but you can't go 3-14 and 2-15 in the NFL back-to-back years and think you're going to keep your job. So I recognize that. However, like, I think the large conversation about whether or not Callahan's the coach after this year should be, what sort of progress does Cam Ward make? How do you feel about the direction that Cam Ward is going after this year? Because if it's positive, it would be a shame to just rip the rug out from underneath him after that, regardless of what your record looks like, unless it's an unmitigated disaster. And I have a hard time believing that you're feeling great about his progress if they're 2-15 at the end of the year. It's just hard for me to believe.
Sure. And yeah, it happens. You know, this happens to quarterbacks, and some of them are fine, and it's just what it is. It's just not ideal. It's already a tough situation with Cam Ward. Again, one of the worst things to me about this pick is the team he's joining.
Yeah.
It's just it's not a good support apparatus for a rookie quarterback right now.
I'm just looking at the quotes. You know, we talked about some draft picks last night that we liked, some that we didn't. When Shamar Stewart went off the board to Cincinnati, I was like, oh, thank God. He's off the board.
The Packers can't take him.
He was doing his press conference last night, and they were talking about, like, you know, what were the conversations like with the Bengals in the pre-draft process? And he's like, you know, I never talked to him. Didn't do a 30 visit, and I don't recall ever having a meeting with him at the combine. It's like, so the Bengals just took someone that apparently they never had any contact with. It's amazing.
And never made a play.
Did not have a sack in college. You had 4.5 sacks over 3 years, and the Bengals apparently never spoke with him, and they took him.
Wow.
Interesting strategy there from Cincinnati.
Pretty wild. A lot of people talking about the coverage and the temper tantrums, Sanders, all that, and ignoring the Titans. I will say, obviously, they went overboard with Sanders, but also that the big trade, I do think, kind of cuts into it, right?
Yep.
Like the huge trade, and also, that's a huge news item that the Jags made that trade with the Browns. So, you know, he didn't have enough of a moment on that, on the ESPN coverage at least.
All right, real quick, who is the second pick by the Titans in the draft, and when does that pick happen?
I'll say that they're not able to trade back and that they take Luther Burden.
Okay. I'll say they do trade back somewhere in the 40s, the low 40s, and they end up with Jaden Higgins at Iowa State.
Okay, there you go. We're on the record.
We'll see how it goes. It's going to be fun today. Obviously, a lot of excitement with the Cam Ward stuff. And now, what can you build around Cam Ward here over the next couple of days to try to fortify this team the best you can? We know you can't fix it all, but can you fix some of it moving forward?
Chase and I will be doing a draft show tonight, 6 o'clock.
Make sure you check that out, 6 o'clock here on 102.5 The Game. That does it for us. Hope everybody has a great weekend. We'll be back Monday morning. Chase and Big Joe is up next here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.